Okay. So we decided to talk about this week is the question of Toelet, in issues of Lashon Hara, as well as in issues of privacy or Gilui Sod. Let's leave it privacy for a minute and Gilui Sod. Now, one of the challenges here is going to be, in general, Toelet in the way it is used in Poskim is much more localized than the ways that it is often necessary if you want to justify much more expansive usage of it in terms of government surveillance, or in cases that we dealt with, whatever it was, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, justifying journalism in general. But to figure out whether it's it can be expanded, what we really need to do is figure out what Toelet even means, if it's the proper category, whether people who use Toelet really mean Toelet, and sort of break down terminology so we can get it to the heart of what this whole idea that Lashon Hara or breach of confidence or the like is permitted under certain circumstances. So when we did Lashon Hara and SBM my first year, I had an inkling that there was something off. And the more I've learned it over the years, the more I'm convinced that not only is there another way of thinking it, but about it than that of the Chafetz Chaim, but even the Poskim who quote the Chafetz Chaim don't really agree with the Chafetz Chaim, which, whether they realize that or not, I don't know. My guess is that sometimes yes, and they don't realize they're arguing with the Chafetz Chaim, and other times my guess is that they know they're arguing with the Chafetz Chaim and are using it more rhetorically, or even the Chafetz Chaim agrees or something like that. I don't know, but that's just my inkling. At some point, I did the very painful work. There are like entire Torah journals that are dedicated only to Lashon Hara. So every year they put out like 150, 200 page journal. At some point I sat down and read like 10 years worth of them, to just sort of get a feeling for what it is. I don't suggest ever doing that. Okay, but let's talk about this category, and then once we talk about the category, we can talk about whether it can be expanded in, how much it can be expanded, what does it mean, and things like that. So, let's pull it up over here. I had given some version of this at some point. I left English in on those sources that I had in an old source sheet that had English, so whatever. Okay. So let's just remind ourselves here of the prohibitions in play, for which Toelet is, right, Toelet or whatever might be instead of Toelet is relevant. So one obviously is going to be the breach of confidence question, the Gilui Sod question, which is one interpretation, Lo Telech Rachil Ba'amecha, that, as you have seen, the Pasuk of Mishlei, which is correlated, is Rivcha Rivit Reyecha V'Sod Acher Al Tegal, which prohibits giving away the secrets of another. And the main source that's often pointed to in terms of Gilui Sod is the Gemara that you've seen in Yom HaDaf Daled, Vayikra Moshe Vayidaber Lama Hiktim Kriya LeDibur Limda Torah Derech Eretz Lo Yomar Adam Davar L'Chaveiro El Im Kein Koreyu. So first, you have one drasha on the pasuk of Vayikra Hashem el Moshe, that you shouldn't say anything unless you call someone first. But then the Gemara moves to another one here at the bottom. Minayin lo omer davar lechaver shu beval yomar ad shelo yomer lo leich emor shneemar vaydaber Hashem elav moel moed lemor. Seemingly a pun on the word lemor, which is being read as lech emor, or at least that's how some of the mefarshim understand it. There's an assumption that you aren't allowed to, that if something told you something in confidence, the assumption is you can't share it unless told otherwise. Now, Whether gilui sod is actually a prohibition or not a prohibition, whether it's lashon hara or not a lashon or not lashon hara, is complicated. Are you planning on doing more of that, right, Clapper? Or should I give the very quick overview of that? No, so gilui sod, I mean, gilui sod very briefly, but you'll do it more in depth, right? Some think this is an actual halacha. It's quoted by the Magen Avraham in Aruch Chaim, Siman Kuf Nun Vav. It's not quoted in the Rambam. It's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That may just be because they don't quote everything, or as Meiri here says, it's not a halacha, it's derech eretz. So it could be that it's not an actual halacha. The second sort of way of figuring out whether gilui sod is actually a halachic issue is to figure out what lashon hara means. Briefly, right, you have several terminological positions that float around the words lashon hara or lishna bisha in the Aramaic and motzi shemra. The Chavetz Chaim's formulation follows that of the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchot Deot, that lashon hara is speaking negatively about someone with true information, motzi shemra is speaking false information, and rechilut is right, speaking in such a way that you will cause animosity, telling someone that someone else spoke about him, things of that nature. That is the position of the Rambam. However, there are many other interpretations. At least in certain sugyas and shas, lishna bisha seems to mean gilui sod, and therefore lotelech rachil would prohibit breach in confidence. That is how the Ritva understands the sugya in Bava Batra Daf Lametet, though he thinks lashon hara is both gilui sod as presented in Bava Batra, and what we call lashon hara of gossip and the like, based on the sugyas in Erchen, and writes that elu min ha lishonot hamitchalfot beshas. This is one of the terms that means both things, that switches what it means. Rev Eichaigon in the Shiltot, Kuf Chavchet, Im Zachor Le'Nachon, says that Lashon Hara, the words Lishna Bisha, refer only to Gilui Sod, and therefore breaching confidence would be under that category. In the some of the Ashkenazi Rishon and the Mordechai, and the Sefer Hasidim explicitly, Rashi implicitly, as the Zechemid points out, Motzi Shemra means what we call Lashon Hara, and Lashon Hara means what the Rambam calls Rechilut, which has some relevance in certain contexts. But then the Urayim has, which I know Rai Clapper likes very much, the Urayim thinks that Lishna Bisha means it's a prohibition on being two-faced, and Echad B'Peh V'Echad B'Lev, which is his own unique theory. We spent a long time on that when we did it in SVM. It was a lot of fun. That your aim is a lot of fun. Your aim is always a lot of fun, to be fair. But according to any of the Shitot, like Rav Chai Gaon or the Ritva, so Gilui Sod is prohibited under the rubric of Lashon Hara, of Rechilut, of Lotelech Rachil. So that's category one that we have to deal with. Category two is what is colloquially called Lashon Hara, following the Chavetz Chaim's sort of total acceptance of the terminological scheme of the Rambam, here in number four, of Hamaragel b'chaveiro over below ta'asei, sh'ne'emar lo telech rachil b'amecha. The Afal Pi Shein Lokin Al Davar Zeh Zevon Gadol Gorem LaRog Nevashot Rabot Mi Yisrael. Right, it's a terrible sin. It causes death. And then he says, "What is this?" So he says, "Ezer Rachil Zeh Shetoin Varim Baholech Mizel Zeh Amar Kach Amar Ploni Kach VeKach Shamati Al Ploni." Rachil is one who, right, goes from one person to another. Says he said this, he said that. Afal Pi Shua Met Harei Zeh Machriv Et Olam. Worse than that is gossip. Not totally clear to me why this is 100% different than what he calls Rechilit, but okay. Which is Lashon Hara. V'hu ha-misaper b'gnut chavero afal pi shomer emet. That's gossip, true gossip. Aval omer sheker nikra motzi shemra al chavero. Motzi shemra is speaking false information. Okay? The two prohibitions in play that we need to figure out. Recording stopped. Did the internet cut out in the Beit Midrash? Okay, fine. That's just the terminology. That's just the questions that are in play. Okay, now I'll pause before we go to the sources. Whatever the prohibition is of Lashon Hara, of Gilui Sod, if those are different things, tell me what you know. When is it permitted? Under what circumstances is it permitted to violate said prohibition? Right? What do you know about it? And unmute yourself if you're going to say something, because I cannot hear you. I see mouths moving, but I don't hear anything. So if you're going to say something, unmute. I'm not telling you to posket. I'm saying, what do you know? What have you heard? What's out there? Right? There's no wrong answer in this point, because I'm not asking you to take a position. I'm asking you to tell me what you know or what you've heard. Okay, good, right? So one of the cases is improve someone's moral category. Now, what's character? Now, what's the justification? Right? Why is that permitted? Okay, good, right? So Asher Weiss has this position that it is based in Midot. To begin with, and therefore, in cases in which it is in line with good midot to speak badly about somebody else, so then it's permitted. Now, though of course, right, you could have gone the opposite way, right? You could have gone the opposite way, right? This was, right, Klapper didn't make this argument as strongly this time as he did 12 years ago, right? But you could make the argument the opposite, right? Which is, if Lashon Hara is based in Midot, specifically your Midot, right? Then maybe there is no justification, right? Because speaking badly will, right? Even if necessary, right? Speaking badly about someone still changes your character, right? It still can undermine your character, even if there's a justification, right? It's like, you know, Lahavdil. Not Lahavdil, whatever. As a mashal, Alderich Mashal, I don't know what you want to call it, right? The Netziv has this celebrated comment, right? Of why is it that God had to give a bracha to Pinchas of a Brit Shalom after he killed Zimri? And the Netziv says, because even though it was justified, right? Even justified murder changes your character. Right? It makes you a more murderous person, a more violent person. And therefore, God had to give him a bracha of shalom to reverse the natural cruelty that would have developed even from a justified killing. Right? Meaning just, right, when you're talking about midot, just because something is legitimate, right, doesn't mean that it isn't going to shape your character, right? If you are, you know, if someone is an executioner and they're killing bad people every day for the court, and even if it's justified, right, that person's, right, that might eat away at their rachmanut, right, at their mercy a little bit, maybe more than a little bit. So, right, on the one hand, you could have said, well, Lashon Hara is just about midot, and therefore it's more, right, it's more limiting. Right, you don't have to, right? And I sent a few sources to Ray Klapper. I don't know if he's going to get to them, right? But several Mefarshim on the Gemara in Yevamot Samach Gimel argue that even when it's permitted to lie for the sake of peace, it's wrong to have children lie for the sake of peace because it will make them into liars, right? Right? Meaning even though this act of lying is permitted, you shouldn't let kids lie for the sake of peace because in the end of the day, it'll make them into liars, even if it's, right? Even if it was legitimate, even if that act was legitimate, right? That doesn't change the fact that it will make them, right, into people for whom truth is not, right, of that, right? So it's not clear, right? It's not clear, right? You could have gone from the argument saying it's just good mido to obviously it's mutter to speak because if I'm doing it for a good reason, then it's wholesome, right? It's a wholesome expression of my mido to tattle on someone. On the other hand, you might say no, right? The opposite is true. When it comes to character traits, sometimes just because something is justified, that doesn't mean it won't shape your character traits in a way we don't want them to. Now, of course, part of this might come down to the question: what is the character traits that you're trying to develop, right? If the character trait is that you don't talk about other people, right, or you're not that type of person, you're not a busybody, you're not whatever, so, you know, the more times you talk about other people, even if it's justified, the more you might violate it, right? On the other hand, if the Mida is trying to develop is you don't use your words as, you don't weaponize your words, right? So then maybe okay, right? If I'm not weaponizing them, I'm using it to protect people, I'm actually developing the right midot. I honestly find it a little bit too glib to just say it's about midot, so it's automatically mutter. I'll add to that the fact that often you're speaking badly about one person to protect somebody else, right? So, like, in the end of the day, right, it's not exactly parallel to Rav Elchanan Wasserman's cases, right? Rav Elchanan Wasserman's cases, building in the Rambam in Hilchot Nezikin, for example, right? If a parent hits a child to educate the child, right? So it's not attacking, right? But that's not how it is by Lashon Hara. I'm speaking badly about one person to protect somebody else, right? That makes it more complicated because the person you're hurting is not the person you're protecting. And that also makes it difficult to automatic, right? That also makes it difficult on a character level because you really are speaking badly about someone, right? And you may not mean to hurt them, but you don't mean to help them either, right? You're helping a third party, right? Meaning if you're trying to improve their moral character, you're right. Then it's parallel to the father hitting the child case of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. But if you're trying to speak to protect a third party, it's not. Right, and I'm not convinced on a character level that that's really going to, right? No, I no, I'm glad you said it. I'm not assuming at this point that you are staking out a position, right? I'm not at all, right? I wanted you to say anything so that we could sort of put it on the table. But okay, right? So you're jumping right into Rav Asher Weiss, which is some sort of construal Rav Elchanan Wasserman. Fine. Okay, what else do you know? But what else have you heard, right? Why did I use the word toelet to call this year? This, where did I get this idea of toelet? Yeah, where does that come from? Who invented that term? Okay, well, the guess would be, if you had to guess, yes. So that's the question. He definitely is the first person to use the word that way. The question is whether he came up with the concept, right? So the Chafetz Chaim devotes two full chapters of Sefer Chafetz Chaim to this idea of toelet, right? The 10th chapter of the first section of Hilchot Lashon Hara and the 9th chapter of the second section of Hilchot Rechilut, in which Chafetz Chaim comes up with this idea that Lashon Hara is permitted le toelet. Lashon Hara is permitted if it is for a benefit. So here, we have to analyze the Chafetz Chaim's model. Before I even look at the Chafetz Chaim, within that model, what questions do you have, right? In order to sort of figure out what the Chafetz Chaim is getting at, what questions do you have on this model? Okay, good. You have to define what a toelet is. Yeah, good. What other questions should jump to mind? Oh, that yeah, okay. Where does it come from? Good. Another question, a linguistic question. When I say that something is permitted because it's lashon hara l'toelet, does using that particular phrase, does it tell you something about the way the Chafetz Chaim conceptualizes this category? Very good. Very good. 100%. Right? The Chafetz Chaim, I think you're right. The Chafetz Chaim, and I think this is intentional. I don't think this is unintentional. I think this is what the Chafetz Chaim wants from you. The Chafetz Chaim has a category. He definitely permits speaking badly about people in certain contexts because it will bring about a benefit, a justified benefit. Okay, let's talk very broadly. But he calls it Lashon Hara L'Toelet, which very much makes it sound like he believes that this is still Lashon Hara, right? It's wrong, right? Meaning if you know, there's always this problem. I always insist with my students, as much as possible, to not use the Hebrew terms. Because for people who are not native Hebrew speakers, right, we have this thing, right, where once we say it in Hebrew, it becomes jargon, and therefore, like, we don't actually think about the words we're saying, right? Right? Like, but, right, if you just say what, right, you just listen to it, it's Lashon Hara, right? It's the evil tongue, right? Meaning, there, it's charged, to begin with, L'Toelet, right? But for a bit, right? Meaning, there is a negative justification. There is a negative connotation there. And that, I think, is important because the Chafetz Chaim wants you to believe that that's what it is, right? That ki'ilu lashon hara is the overarching category, right? Your starting point is that you should never speak badly about other people, right? So, and whenever you do, it's lashon hara. Whether it's justified or not, it's lashon hara, right? Sometimes you can sort of eke out a heter if you can define it as toelet. But as we're going to see, right, if that's your conceptualization, then you should expect, I should probably not have the door that wide open. One second. I have, like, the door open for air, but it's also 11 at night. Right? But as we'll see, that sort of formulation will, let's say, require you to climb some mountains, to pass some hurdles, in order to get ahead there, to in certain very shocking ways. Okay? So let's explore the Chafetz Chaim's model and then see whether there might be another model to think about. Okay? So now it's worth noting that as I said, the idea of Lashon Hara L'Toelet, or even any mention of a similar category, does not appear in the Rif, does not appear in the Rambam, does not appear in the Tur, does not appear in Shulchan Aruch, neither does Hilchot Lashon Hara in the latter cases. But, right, this is a category that the Chafetz Chaim creates, right? He creates. Where does he get it from? From several sources. He gets it from several sources. One source that he gets it from is the category of Edut, right? He says, look, Edut is a case in which I testify against somebody, and I say something bad. He sinned. He was Mechal Shabbat. Now he gets killed, right? Bad. And consequences, right? Now, how does he know that that's lashon hara? Maybe you just say, oh, it's court, that's different. So he has a very clever proof, which is that the Gemara in the end of Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, has the story of Tuvia Chata, right? Vezigud Mangid, right? Tuvia sins. Right? So what happens? This guy comes into court, Zigud, and he testifies as a single witness against Tuvia. And the court punishes him rather than Tuvia, because his edut is edut of an eid echad. And in criminal matters, for sure, you always need two witnesses. And therefore, his testimony was useless. And since it was useless, it was also unjustified. Right? And therefore, he's punished, to which he cries out of the unfairness of the situation, which is Tuvia Chata. Tuvia was the one who sinned, right? But Zigud, right? Zigud, who told on him, is getting punished for it. So this is one of the Chafetz Chaim's proofs that you see, Edut in principle is Lashon Hara, right? But it becomes justified if it is L'Toelet, if it's for a benefit. However, since it will only be beneficial when there's two witnesses, not when there's one, that's why Lashon, right? If you testify with one witness, it is defined as Lashon Hara, because it is, right? Because Edut in principle is Lashon Hara, it becomes permitted if it's going to have a purpose, which only true when you have a legal set of witnesses, or at least the potential, but if it's a single witness, then it's pointless Lashon Hara, and therefore you are the sinner. Maybe the other person is also, but that the court has no way of knowing. That's one of the Chafetz Chaim's proofs, that there exists a category of Lashon Hara L'Toelet. Another proof is from the very extended sugya in the third parak of Bava Batra, where the Gemara possibly equates, possibly correlates, possibly equates only for certain pragmatic functions, Lashon Hara with Micha'a, right? Lashon Hara with the protest that, I don't know how many of you have learned the third parak of Bava Batra, but third parak of Bava Batra focuses on squatter's rights, where if someone lives in somebody's property for 3 years and is not challenged by the owner, he is not moche, right? He doesn't protest. So then the burden of proof for who owns that field shifts from the previous known owner, the holder of the original deed, to the other way around, from the squatter to the person of the original deed, meaning the presumed owner is now the squatter, right? And in order to prevent that 3 years from happening, the owner has to be moche, he has to protest. And the Gemara there has an extended discussion of comparing the laws of Micha'a to Lashon Hara. Now, there are some Rishonim who take it as a technicality that both Micha'a and Lashon Hara require a certain level of publicity, or whatever. The exception to Lashon Hara requires publicity. I don't want to get into it now. The heter of Ba'apei Tlata. And Micha'a needs publicity, and therefore you can derive laws one from the other. That doesn't mean that it is Lashon Hara. However, some Rishonim believe that no, Micha'a is in principle the same as Lashon Hara, because I'm saying that this person is squatting on my land, so he's a thief, right? But it's permitted nevertheless, because I'm protesting in order to keep my land, and therefore it's Lashon Hara L'Toelet, right? So the Chafetz Chaim argues that there are all these categories that prove that there's Lashon Hara L'Toelet. The problem is that all the Chafetz Chaim has proved is that there are cases in which I can speak badly about other people. He has not proven that those cases are in principle Lashon Hara. Maybe in the Edut case, he has proof from the Gemara and Psachim. Micha'a, he has no proof of this, right? The question left is, it's clearly true I can speak badly about someone in certain circumstances when it's beneficial. The question of whether the proper way of framing that is Lashon Hara L'Toelet, and the implication the Chafetz Chaim draws from that, is a different question. So, with all that, let's see what he does with it, okay? I put a very lengthy piece here from the Chafetz Chaim. We're not going to read all of it. But I want you to get a feel for the Chafetz Chaim, okay? So, this is Lashon Hara Klal Yud. Similar in Klal Tet, in Rechilut, He says, we're going to describe some of the rules of Lashon Hara. If someone stole, if someone oppressed, when are you allowed to share this information? And there are 17 seifim. Okay, so here's his rules. Aleph. If you see someone carrying out an injustice, kagon shegazlo oashko hiziko, he oppressed him, he stole from him, he damaged him. Whether or not the damaged party knows, or he humiliated him or caused him pain, and you know he didn't pay back the money, he didn't pay for the damages, and he didn't apologize, he didn't go to him to try to write it, even if he saw it in private, you're allowed to speak about it to protect the victim, to denigrate the actions of the sinner. But there are 7 conditions that you must follow. And these are what they are. Aleph, shir ehad zehadavar be'atzmo. You see it yourself. Lo yedei shmiya me'acherim. Not by hearsay. Unless you then verify it yourself. Bet she's a hermaot shlo yachlit takef et ha'inyan b'da'ato ligzol ligezel ve'oshek o lehezek chayotzibo rak yitbonen heitev im et etzem ha'inyan im walpidin bichlal gezel o hezek. You need to be sure that it was wrong. First, you have to rebuke the sinner in soft language. Because maybe you can improve the person without speaking badly about him. If he doesn't listen, then you're allowed to publicize what he did. Dalid. Don't exaggerate. Hey, shechaven l'toelet. You must have intent for toelet. K'moshin evayer l'kaman b'siv dalet. V'lo l'honot chas v'shalom me'apgam ahu shu noten b'chavero v'lo mitzad sin'a sheyesh lo alav mikvar. You have to say the information for the right reasons and not because you hate him. Vav. If there's a way to bring about the good without speaking badly, then under no circumstances can you speak badly. The damage that comes to potential perpetrator cannot be worse than what they would have faced in a Jewish court. Okay? Those are his 7 rules for Toelet. Now, when I read this, it very much supports what, I'm sorry, remind me your name. In the yes, you. What? Jacob. Right? It really does give me the feeling what Jacob said, right? That this is, right? It's real, still Lashon Hara, meaning it's Lashon Hara, should avoid it. You know, if you can eke out a het there by checking 7 boxes, the Seder, right? I'll let you do it. But it's last resort, and it's still bad, so you should minimize it, right? That's the feeling you get. Now, at first glance, I would say, I mean, okay, what's the problem with conceptualizing Lashon Hara that is, not Lashon Hara, negative information that is necessary to be shared as, in this way, is Lashon Hara L'Toelet? What's the problem? Is there a problem? I'm biasing you. I already biased you. Okay, who's talking? I hear a voice, a disembodied voice. That's fine. I just want to know who's talking. Yeah. Okay, Rena, yeah. Good, right? Exactly. I think Rina is 100% right, right? Which is the problem with the Chafetz Chaim's model, or okay, the reality of the Chafetz Chaim's model, and then I'll tell you in a minute why I think it's a problem, right? Is that when you conceptualize it this way, you're always biased to not share the information, even in a case where you probably really should, right? Because he calls it Lashon Ha'Tu'elet, what he's really telling you is the assumption is it's Aser. It's forbidden. The only way to permit it is to not to turn it into not Lashon Hara. It's always going to be Lashon Hara, no matter what you do, right? But it can be Lashon Hara L'Tu'elet, right? Meaning, it's, right? I know, this is definitely treif. You're definitely eating treif, right? The question is it a case of Pikuach Nefesh? So you need to prove to me now, right, that it's pikuach nefesh for you to eat this treif food, right? Meaning it's usser. This is really usser. What you're talking about is usser. It might be mutter under the circumstances, but the burden of proof is on you. Now, let me just show you. To me, there are two extremely striking cases of this that really highlight. Yeah, that just how dangerous this can be. Okay, so remember, the Chafetz Chaim told you that the in order for Lashon Hara to be permitted when it's L'Tu'elet, you have to be very, very, very careful to fulfill all seven conditions, right? All seven conditions. Let me pick out one that will highlight how dangerous this can be. Well, I'll pick out two, but let me start with one. Okay? The one of the Chafetz Chaim's conditions was that in order for Lashon Hara L'Tu'elet to be permitted, you have to have the proper intent, meaning your goal has to be to protect the victim and not to hurt the perpetrator. Right? Now, let me ask you a simple question. What happens if you don't like the perpetrator? You don't like him. And therefore, you do want to hurt him. Can you now save the victim? Oh, he does say. He does say. We'll see that he says. What do you think? You can't have hana. You can't, right? You can't enjoy it. Okay, well, you don't have to take my word. That's what he means. Skip down to 14. Here, I put it on the screen, okay? Sheyichaven rak l'toelet. Right? First of all, I don't mean a hybrid intent. Right? I mean pure intent. Pure intent. So not, right? Not just, I am also interested in protecting the victim. That's not enough. Only toelet. Dahainu l'salek anizikin mizeh. V'lo mitarasina al shekenegdo. Not because I hate the other, right, the perpetrator. Okay? Why does he think that it's not just enough to have good intent, but it has to be only good intent, right? I can't enjoy hurting the perpetrator also, right? Why does he think that? So this is a very, very technical discussion that he hangs this on. If you look here in footnote, in the foot, Chavetz Chaim is a bit of an organized, is a little bit weirdly organized. This is an unnumbered footnote. He has footnotes which are numbered. Those are the Be'er Mayim Chaim. This is not. This is an unnumbered footnote to Sif Yud in Hilchot Rechilut, Sif, okay? It's unnumbered, so it's just starred. But it's not the other footnotes, which are numbered. Whatever. He says, there is a machlokes, taz, and sma in choshen mishpat, tavchof aleph. As follows, right? Shekatav, deheicha shehu mitzad hasin'ah, ein niftar b'mashu matzil al yedei ze et chaveiro. Right, he's talking there about striking someone, right? If I strike someone, to protect someone, right, is that legitimate, right? And am I patur for the damages that I caused? So the taz and the sma divide. The taz says, since I'm protecting the victim, kevan shehu osem mitzvah bazeh, ein nafka min bechavanato, right? In the end of the day, I'm protecting someone, and therefore it doesn't matter what I intend, or even if I have hybrid intent, which is how the Chavetz Chaim is taking it. Okay? The Sma, on the other hand, says, no, if I also am enjoying the fact that I'm hurting the perpetrator, so then that's a problem. Okay? Now this is very... Right, this is very problematic, right? Because as Rev Shlomo Rosner, not Shalom Rosner, not like the YU one, Rev Shlomo Rosner, who wrote a commentary to the Chavetz Chaim, the Ale Be'er, somewhere on my shelf,
this one,
the Ale Be'er, he says as follows. He says, wait a second, so are you telling me, really, that what emerges from the Chavetz Chaim is that if I see a victim who's about to get hurt by my arch enemy, that I can't tell the victim if I'm going to enjoy, right, hurting my arch enemy. My arch enemy is my arch enemy for a good reason, right? He's the type of person who hurts people, right? But I'm going to enjoy telling on him and getting him arrested or whatever the case may be, right? The Chavetz Chaim seems to say you can't do that. Now, is that plausible? Is that plausible? Did the Chavetz Chaim think that was plausible? So as Shlomo Rosner points out, well, 90%, yeah. 90%, yeah, the Chavetz Chaim did understand it that way. How do I know? Because in 16, he comes up with a solution, because he also has a problem, right? Meaning, how am I supposed to do this, right? He says, "Ein gavano do befrat zed im eno mechaven l'toel hu patur memelem l'saper machmar chashash isur rechilut. Da lo tamar al dam reyacha k'tiv." Wait, really? You're going to tell me I'm going to let the victim, you know, get hurt or die? Leave dying, pikuach nevesh, fine. Get hurt just because I can't get over my grudge against my enemy who's the perpetrator? Really? I'm going to let the victim get hurt because I can't do it? So he could have just said, no, that's crazy. What he says instead is, kavanato shiachriach etzmo be'eda sibor l'chavein l'toel v'lo mitzara sina. Right? The obvious solution is to not feel that way. That's his solution. Force yourself to not feel that way. And he doesn't tell you what happens if you can't. He doesn't tell you what happens if you can't. Right? So, Rav Shlomo Rosner points out that the simple implication of the time, he may not mean this, but it is, at some level, the logical result of his conceptualization is if Lashon Hara is usur under all circumstances, unless you check seven boxes and you can't check one of those boxes, then the de facto, right, the assumption is it is usur. And therefore, if it's my arch enemy hurting someone and I can't get myself to not enjoy hurting my arch nemesis in the process of protecting a potential victim, since he paskins that hybrid kavana is not legitimate, right? If someone is incapable of purifying his intent, the simple understanding of Chafetz Chaim, which he never, in all of Sefer Chafetz Chaim, actually rejects, and in fact implies that he accepts, is that you have no choice but to let the victim get hurt, because you can't speak. Now, it could be that he would never buy that, but you follow Chafetz Chaim's logic, and his seeming solution to this problem, which is not, that's crazy, but force yourself to not feel that way, right? You realize he does really, really seem to believe this, right? He really seems to believe this, and that's a terrifying, terrifying proposition, right? But I think at some level, it is a logical, right? A logical conclusion based on his model, right? It is logical. It you know, and therefore I can tell you he definitely doesn't mean it. If he didn't say anything, I would say he doesn't mean it that far. He does bring it up. He actually noticed the problem, right? His only solution is make yourself not feel that way, right? That indicates to me that he really, really believes this. Okay, let's pause for a second for questions. What do you think, right? What do you think right now, having seen what the Chafetz Chaim himself actually seems to believe? Sure. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he says it. He said it, not me. Right? This is not even like, I didn't even extrapolate it. He says it, right? Like, meaning he doesn't actually say what happens if you can't force yourself. Presumably he assumes that everyone is perfect. Fine. And leaving aside where the person's actually going to die, because, okay, pikuach nefesh overrides it. Fine. I'm willing to accept that. Right? But this seems to be the way the Chafetz Chaim conceptualizes the legitimacy, the rationale for speaking badly about someone to prevent bad things from happening. Okay, now I could show you another proof of Chafetz Chaim, but let's move for a second to what Rina said before. If I don't want to do this, right, Rina, right? Okay, let's say you wanted a different model. Let's say you look at this and you're like, something feels wrong. Right? There's something missing here. What, right? What is it? You said it before, and I think you're 100% right. What is it that's missing? Right? What is it that's missing here? Oh, for sure. I'm totally willing to believe that that's why he wrote it. But you said something else before, right? There's a pragmatic problem here, but there's also a fundamental problem, right? There's a fundamental problem. What's the fundamental problem? You said it before and you're 100% right. What is it? Okay, good. Right? And here's something that I think is often lost. This, after many years of just thinking about this, at some point it hit me that this is what I think people miss. Chafetz Chaim tells you, why can I talk to prevent harm to someone? Lo tamr al dam riecha. Okay? If we have time, I'll explain why he thinks lo tamr al dam riecha covers cases of harm that are short of pikuach nefesh. But let's just assume for a second that it does. Okay? He quotes that. So you might say, aha, he quotes it. But here's the interesting thing. Under normal circumstances, what does the Chofetz Chaim do to Lo Tamar Al Dam Re'echa? He sublimates it into a detail in Lashon Hara. Right? Why is it permitted to save someone by speaking badly? Because Lo Tamar Al Dam Re'echa tells me that there's an exception to Lashon Hara called Toelet. Right? But that's a very bold move, which is to sublimate a mitzvah d'oraita into a detail in an exception to Lashon Hara, which according to Chofetz Chaim, in the end of the day, is still only Lashon Hara, but with an eked out heter. But why would we do that, right? Well, yes, so why wouldn't we instead say, this is not a eked out heter in Lashon Hara, it's an independent value, right? That, right? Meaning, what does the Chofetz Chaim essentially do? Chofetz Chaim basically says, right, in Lumdish terminology, shave v'al ta'aseh adif, right? The presumption is always that it's Lashon Hara. If you can prove that it's not Lashon Hara, then you can say it. But if you can't prove it, or you can't check all the boxes, so not speaking Lashon Hara is always the better option. But he only manages to pull that off because he's made all the potential mitzvot that might obligate you in a positive sense to speak badly. He's sublimated them into an exception within Lashon Hara, which makes it that the default is always not to speak, as if that was the safe option. But it's not the safe option if you think that there's a counter mitzvah telling you have to speak. Because if there's a counter mitzvah, so then there is no sheva al tasa adif. There are cases in which if I speak, I might violate Lashon Hara, but if I don't speak, I might violate Lo Tamar Al Dam Re'echa. Then there's no safe space, right? You could never have come up with the Chofetz Chaim's if I don't have the proper intent, right? That only makes sense because he's thinking about it as Lashon Hara, and how do I eke out a heter of Lashon Hara? If I said, no, I have to protect the victim because I'm biblically bound to protect the victim, I don't need to justify my intent to do it. That is the mitzvah, right? Don't tell me, oh, I have the right kavana. What if the right kavana, right? I'm doing it to perform a mitzvah. I also have bad intent. Okay, so I'll work on myself. But the hava mina that I wouldn't, I mean, right now, the person that everybody quotes, that often they, even the Chofetz Chaim quotes him, right? But I don't quite think that he understood that this is not the same as what he was doing. I don't think it is anyways, is the Pitchei Tshuva. Now, this is a little bit interesting. It's not the same Pitchei Tshuva that you're used to, which is a little bit confusing, right? The standard Pitchei Tshuva, which is found on the other Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch besides for Aruch Chaim, is written by Rav Avram Eisenstadt. Right, that's the one you'll find in your standard Shulchan Aruch, but in Aruch Chaim, it's not. It's written by, it's written by Yisrael Isserlein. Go. Okay. So here's my question. Are you making a halachic point or a rhetorical point? I know, but are you making a halach, meaning, are you saying that the Chofetz Chaim framed it this way because he believed in it halachically? Or are you saying that he framed it this way because even though it's not really true, that, right, that it's lashon hara, right, meaning rhetorically it's powerful to get people to really take lashon hara seriously by calling it lashon hara l'toelet, right? Meaning what you're saying is maybe he doesn't really believe this, but rhetorically it's very powerful to frame it in such a way that people always feel like even when it's justified, they have to contend with lashon hara. So it's a powerful rhetorical move, but it's not a power, but it's not really what he means halachically, right? Well, so he extensively talks about that in this book. The amazing thing is that even in this book where he extensively talks about it, he still comes to this conclusion, right? Right? That's what's amazing. Now, he even quotes the source that I'm about to look at, but let's look at the next source, and I want to show you a few sources to show you, again, it could be, and one of my teachers once made this point to me, R. Schreiber, that, like, I showed him, you know, my analysis of this, and he's like, you know, do you think that by doing what you're about to do, you weaken people's, right, commitment to not speak Lashon Hara? I said, I don't know, right? Right? Meaning, you're right. At some level, rhetorically, there's a lot of power to what Chafetz Chaim does. I agree with that. But let me show you a different rhetorical move, okay? Halachic rhetorical model, okay? What? I mean, sure, but I think he goes farther than that, meaning he doesn't just do that, right? Because he frames it specifically as lo tamo nareacha, right? He sublimates it into toelet, right? Meaning, right, what you're doing is even, I think, is less, it's on the same sort of trajectory, but on the same continuum, but a less extreme model of what he actually does. Look, let me show you why I think that this is the case in the Chafetz Chaim, but first let me present the other model, right? And then let me show you one more case in the Chafetz Chaim, and then we'll come back to it, okay? The Pirkei Tshuva, and this is quoted in many, many, many sources, including the Chafetz Chaim himself, though like I said, I honestly do not know how he squares this particular formulation with his formulation. Pirkei Tshuva says as follows: V'ra'iti l'nachon la'ir la'idach gisa. I want to talk in the opposite direction. Sheyesh. I'm sorry, I cut off part of it. It's fine. The main point is here, but he, yeah, the first half of this is actually, I mean, it's important rhetorically. Not halachically, it doesn't change it, but rhetorically, it's important that he, in the first part of it, he says that. He's seen the Baalei Mussar who are Mar'ish et Ha'olam. One second here. One second. Let me try to pull it up. One second. In the original. There we go. Let's see. No. Shin's on love. Let's see. Where are we up to? Kuf Pechet. Let's see. Kufnun Aleph, Kufnun Gimel, Kuf. Yeah. Okay. Let me do this. This way. Share screen, and here we go. Okay. Fine. Here's the Pirkei Tshuva inside. Fine. Va'iti lazkir, lazkir po. Right. What is he mentioning here? That Asher kol sifrei musar here ishu ha'olam alavon lashon hara. The whole world, all these musar svarim, they just make so much noise, right? About they've stormed the world with this prohibition of lashon hara. Va'anochi marish ha'olam lehipuch. Right. I am going to make the opposite storm, right? I'm going to make the opposite noise. Avon gadol mizeh, of a greater sin. V'gam hu matzui yoter. Right, going back on Rina's point, right? He argues also with Mitziyot. He says this is more common, right? This is more common. V'hu miniyat atzmo mila daber b'makom anitzrach. Right, more common than speaking when you shouldn't is not speaking when you should, and that's the worst of the two crimes. Lahatzil et ha'ashuk mi'arashko, to save the oppressed from his oppressor. Derech mashal b'misha ra'a be'echad shuhu oreva chaveiro be'orma, ala derech b'amidbar l'ha'argo sh'ra'a choter machteret b'layla b'veito b'chanuto. For example, if you saw someone chasing someone to kill him, right, or tunneling into his house, hayitachein she'yimna milo diel chaveiro she'yiz harmimenu mi'ishum isur lashon hara. You think you should not tell him because of Lashon Hara? Hello, Avon Gadol Miniso? That is a sin that is too great to bear. Shover alo ta'amod al dam re'echa. Because you're standing idly by. V'chein minyan mamon, hu b'chal ha'shavat aveda. And don't just think it's when the person's life's in danger, even by money. It's ha'shavat aveda. V'atam mali choter machteret. Who cares whether someone is tunneling into somebody's house, or you see someone's servant stealing his money, or his partner, right? Just to prove to you how often this comes up. He's like, this is most of the time, right? Or someone borrowed money and didn't realize, lent money and didn't realize the person doesn't pay back. V'chein b'inyani shiduch, or by shiduchen, v'hun yodesh ishrau bli'al, and someone knows he's a bad shiduch, he's a bad person, v'ra'al litchatenimo, kulan v'chal ha'shavet aveidat gufo umamono. This is all part of a shavet aveidat, returning someone's money and body. V'ata, ayei lanu hageder v'hagvul, v'lomar adpo tidaber v'lo yoter. How exactly are you going to come up with these limits? Speak to this point and not more. V'klal, right? Chavetz Chaim, don't exaggerate. Be careful, right? Right? Be very careful. Not an extra word. He's, right? The Pitchei Yeshiva says, what are you talking about? Right? V'klal bazeh. This is the rule. Shadavar masur lalev. Im kavanato lera'at ha'echad. Hu lashon hara. Right? If your point is to hurt someone, okay. Lashon hara. Aval kavanato l'tavar ha'sheni latzila u'd l'shomro. Even mitzvah rabbah. It is a great mitzvah to protect him, right? To protect him, right? Now, rhetorically and halachically, you read the Pirkei Tshuva. If you really wanted to, you could shove this into Tehillim, which is what the Chavetz Chaim himself does, if you really wanted to. But I don't think that's a careful read, and it's definitely not giving enough respect to the power, the halachic power of rhetoric. Right? Right? Because that's not what he wants you to think. Right? He goes out of his way to tell you that what he does not want you to think is that this is Lashon Hara, but. Right? Because he says, because then you started got it thinking exactly the Chavetz Chaim. Ayei lanu hageder v'hagvul. What exactly is the limit? What exactly can I say? He doesn't want you to be thinking that way. Right? Because that's a problem. Right? Because that's dangerous. Because that's not what's going on here. This isn't a heter that you eked out in Lashon Hara. Right? There's an independent series of biblical mitzvot that mandate that you protect people in any way you know how, including through speech. Right? And when he tells you the Bali Musar or Mar'ishet Ha'olam are making noise about Lashon Hara, and I'm going to make noise in the opposite direction, right? He's telling you, I don't want you to think that way, right? That's the wrong way of conceptualizing this, right? There is no safe space. When you're supposed to protect people, he at the very least, it's an equal danger. I might violate Lashon Hara, or I might violate Lotam al-Dim Re'acha, but he doesn't even think that, right? He thinks the burden of proof is the opposite. Assume that when someone is in danger, that there's a mitzvah to protect them, unless proven otherwise. Right? Right? Because he says it's the greater of the mitzvah. Right? He's quite clear in what he's doing and how this is very much not the Chavetz Chaim's Lidati model, because he's not eking out a heter. He's telling you that there's a positive value to speaking this information. Now, we saw one case where this might, you know, come up, which is the question we saw of what if you can't have the right intent, right? But let me show you another one, okay? Gemara here in number 9, and this is one of the classic sources for Tohelet, but I want you to see what it says and then figure out what the Chafetz Chaim wanted from it, okay? This is a Gemara in Nida Daf Samach Aleph. Gemara says, Tana, Hu abor shemile Yishmael bin Netanya chalalim. Tichtiv abor asher shlich sham Yishmael kol begoren Hashem asher hika biyad Gedalia. Okay? So, after Gedalia is assassinated, the Pasuk describes the pit in which the bodies of Gedalia and his men who were killed as part of the assassination by Yishmael ben Netanya, right, as the corpses that were hit by Gedalia. So the Gemara says, "Vechi Gedalia haragan, halo Yishmael haragan." That's victim blaming if there ever was, right? What are you talking about, right? Gedalia got killed. He didn't kill, right? Please. He says, no, he did kill them. Mitoch shahaya lo lachush la'atzat Yochanan ben Korach v'lochash. He was warned and didn't take the warning seriously. Ma'ale alav hakatuv ki'ilu haragan. It's as if the Torah considers it as if he killed them. Amar Rava. Rava says, Hai lishna bisha, afa bidil kabule lo miboy, mechesh lehem miboy. Even though you're not supposed to accept such Lashon Hara like this, you should be worried about it. Meaning, take precautions. Right? If someone says he's trying to kill you, you don't have to believe him, right? But you should, just in case, right? You should take precautions, okay? Hanu b'nei gilila dinafak alayu kala diktol nafsha. There were these people in the Galil who... The rumor was out that they were murderers. Atu lukmed their bitarfon. They came to Rabbi Tarfon. Amr le litamrun mar. Hide us. Amr lehu, he said, hechi nafet. What am I supposed to do? Ilo it marincho chazu yataychu. It marincho amr rabbanon haylish nabisha afo gavdol gulo yomi boy meches lemi boy. Zilun atun tamrun nafshaychu. He said, well, what am I supposed to do? Right, I can't not help you, because you know the Romans will find you. It'll be bad, and I don't know if you're guilty, but I can't hide you either, because you know you might actually be murderers. Right, so why don't you guys go hide yourself? Right, I won't turn you in because I don't believe in it. Right, but I won't hide you either. Right, okay, fine. In this Gemara, it's pretty clear that when your own life is in danger and you hear information that could protect you, right, you are allowed to take precautions, right? Right? You shouldn't believe it, but you can take precautions. So now let me ask you a very simple question. What if it's not your life, it's somebody else's life? Doubtful information, right? Doubtful information that would protect somebody else. Are you allowed to share it with the other person? Good, right? Thank you. It seems to be explicit in the Gemara that the same is true for other people, because the whole anchor of this Gemara is that Gedalia isn't just responsible for himself, he's responsible for the death of other people, right? Right? Which means that you're allowed to take precautions, not just for yourself, but for others, right? Presumably, that implies even if you have to tell them about your concerns, right? That is the almost obvious conclusion of this Gemara. Even though I guess technically you could get out of it by saying Gedalia could have protected his men without telling them what was going on. Okay, fine. But pretty strong implication. The Madana Yom Tov on the Rush makes this quite clear. Right? And he says, Ola Achirim, Chen Kazavatosva, Umimela Mashma, the Kumomi Baile Lachush, Im Yachol Yot She Yavolo Hezek Latzma, Wadinami, Im Yachol Yot She Yavo Hezek Lachirim. Obviously, whatever is true for you is true for others. Demaishna, why should they be different? Dibavadai Sheesh Ladam Lachush Lahezek Shalachirim, Kemoshi Yesh Lachush Lahezek Shalatzmo. Just like you have to worry about damage to yourself, you have to worry about damage to others. Uklal Gadol Batarava Hafta Recha Kamocha. Right? You know, love others like yourself, that thing. Right? V'uvda digdalia he'ela lavagadu kilu harag l'chol naragim b'yad Yishmael. Besides, the whole point of this Gemara is that Gedalia is responsible for the death of others. V'alfa v'yishave le'la chush la'atzmo v'lo hiskar ha'katuv l'ha v'hiskar shlo ha'chash la'cherim. Right? Great. That's almost the only way you can read the Gemara. Guess who doesn't read the Gemara that way? Wild guess there, and it is one of the most shocking passages in all of Chafetz Chaim, which, if the other one didn't convince me that Chafetz Chaim was, there had to be another way, this one is even worse. Okay? This one is even worse. One second. Just find the line. Yeah. Here we go. Sorry, let me share the screen again. This is where it gets really messy. Okay. Chafetz Chaim says as follows. Chafetz Chaim says, what happens if the person, the potential victim, not you, someone else, will not listen to the rules of Lashon Hara and will believe the information rather than just take precautions? Okay, that's how he gets to this question. Yeah? Here he says, Aval im yir'eh lefi inyan ha-shomim shehen yikablu et ha-davar. Le'emet gamur, you see that they're going to accept it as truth. V'yaziko yivayshu avar zet lanidon, and they're going to hurt or embarrass the person. Right? Understand this. Right? The possibility here is he might embarrass the right. Upamim yuchal yomulvada ezek. So they owed me zet gamken machloket atzumot, and God forbid this will lead to machloket besides for damage. Bivadai she'ein lo lesaper klal. You can say nothing. The chol ikar taima detzarech lachush lacherim kvar katavnu lo b'shem Madana Yom Tov. And again, this is amazing. He quotes the Madana Yom Tov, who says the reason you have to care about other people's is because of a haftal recha kamocha. V'chihechid detzarech ani lachush lach mishel gilu shum hezek, hach ani tzarech lachush lacherim. Right, just like I'm worried about myself, I worry about others. Right? He says that only if they won't believe it. Masha'in kein imani ro'eh shehen yikablu et adavar le'emet gamur. But if they're going to believe it, v'agia mize hezek la'anidon bivadai ein legaloto. You cannot reveal it. Why? Ki hechi da'ani mitzuveh. What? It's the case. In this case. Right, in this case, in that which is being dealt with, right? Presumably the potential perpetrator. He says, "Dichihechi ani mitzuveh lehov et zeh, kach ani mitzuveh lehov et shekenegdo." Because I have to love both of them. V'im kein my chazit didama dezeh tzumak tvei dilma dama dezeh tzumak tvei. And who says that the blood of the victim is redder than the blood of the potential perpetrator? So, what the Chafetz Chaim says is, for myself, right, I can act on this. For somebody else, if I know he won't act on it, then I can share it. But if he will act on it, even if all he's going to do is embarrass him, right? This is the Chafetz Chaim, right? Not mine, right? I can't share it, right? Because the potential embarrassment to the perpetrator is worse, right? Or at least equal to the damage to the potential victim. And therefore, in such a case, I have to let the damage happen. In Cain, Choser lav de rechilud al mikomo. Exactly as I was arguing. Because now rechilud is back in place. Right? Rechilud is now back in place. And therefore, even though there's a potential victim, the law of rechilud trumps lo tamar al dam re'echa. Because of my, right, of, because dama, right, mi yemer de dama de hai gavra sumak tfei. Because who says that his blood, right? Now, you could say the Chafetz Chaim only means where I worry that the potential victim is going to hurt the perpetrator disproportionately, in which case his life is in danger, right? You could. But again, if you follow what he actually says, his problem is that he's going to be mekabel it, right? He's going to accept it. And when he lists the things he might do, it's not that he might retaliate out of proportion. He might retaliate at all, including embarrassment, right? Where the implication is, even if I could protect someone from damage at the concern of potential embarrassment to somebody else, I can't, right? I can't do that. Now, again, you can say that's not what he means, right? Right? But that's what he says, right? Right, and he says even afilu im haya ha'inyan safek hashakul, right? Even if it's doubtful, right? Even if it's safek shakul, it's 50-50, right? Befrach baran leil delishna bisha calls manchol baruch shash ba'alma v'yoter mizev shematzui me'od ronatenu harabim shashomei yaria imo yoter mikviadin. Right, he says, and it's even worse because sometimes he will carry out more than is called for. But he says that only later, right? Meaning, this is true even before he gets to the point where he says the victim might do more to the perpetrator than is called for. That's just icing on the cake. Even before he assumes he's going to do more than what is called for, he already prohibits it. Right? Right? He's saying, yoter mizeh, meaning that's a second argument. Right, a second level to this is he might do worse. But even if he wouldn't do worse, even if he did exactly what's called for, right, it is asur, right? Now, he could have just said, right, look, I have an obligation to protect the guy, and he has a protection, and the potential victim has a responsibility to not hurt anybody, right? But that's not what he wants. He wants you to be certain that the potential victim will not believe the information and damage the perpetrator, presumably, sounds like, in any way, even within the realm of justice, right? Because beyond the realm of justice is icing on the cake, right? Yeah, go, please. Right. The problem here, now clearly, right, the Chafetz Chaim is functioning in a case of doubt. That's for sure. Right, that we know. Right? But what level doubt? Right? It's not a chashash ba'alma. Right? He tells you it's not a chashash ba'alma. Right? He says even a safek ha-shakul, right? Meaning, right? It's, right, potentially at least, right? I can't prove more than that. Right, but even for him, if there's a 50% chance that this is going to happen, which, you know, is pretty high, right? Meaning 50 is, it's a seve gashakul, right? Meaning it's still in every other area of halacha is something where I have to be choshesh, right? According to all shitot, right? It's not a miut. Well, that he doesn't say either, right? Well, first let's start with the exegetical point, right? He doesn't say what you said, right? He says, "Im yir'eh l'fi inyan hashom'im shehem yekar." Right? He sees from context, right? It seems to him, right? Right? He's not, right? Meaning, remember, you're assuming there's a vada. There's no vada. He's saying, I sort of think. Right? Contextually, it seems likely to me that the person will do something. Right? Right? And he says, right, all he needs is Yaziku o Yevaishu. Because then he adds, Upeamim Yachol Liot Shumavada Hezek Yisovev Od Mizeh. Right? Right? And it might cause Machlok, but that's a second. Right? Meaning, his first, right, even if, right, sufficient for him is that I think it's likely that the potential victim will harm or embarrass the person who might hurt him. Right? Now, the problem is, right, from context, where he's quoting the Gedalia Gemara, he's quoting the Madana Yom Tov on the Gedalia Gemara, right? The potential damage to the victim seems to be a high level. Because even if you don't think it's death, right? That's the source of this discussion, right? Of both, right? Of the Gemara and the Madana Yom Tov that he's ostensibly quoting, right? And he's willing to negate what, at least in context, seems like a high level harm on the threat that the potential victim will be mivayesh, the perpetrator, right? That's the concern he puts down. Now, you can read into the Chafetz Chaim that despite the fact that he's quoting the Gedalia Gemara, and despite the fact that he's quoting the Madani Yom Tov and working within the Madani Yom Tov on the Gedalia Gemara, right? That he's not talking about anything that's that extreme, right? And that's what this all hangs on, right? Is that he's worried, right? Because I think I would share the following intuition, right? Which is, if I hear someone saying, you know, aha, I heard Reuven say that he's really intrigued by the idea that stealing pachot mishave pruta, right, is not really theft, and he's thinking that he might want to try it out just for the halachic thrill. So he's thinking of stealing a penny from that hothead over there, Shimon. And Shimon in the past has been known that every time anyone does anything against him, he beats him with an inch of his life, right? I think most people would have an intuition that the damage, even if it actually happens, is negligible, right? And the potential counter damage, which is also likely, is far out of proportion, right? So maybe there, if I want to be really good, I should, you know, stand guard on Reuven and make sure he doesn't, you know, enjoy the halachic thrill of stealing a pachot mishavar pruta. Fine. But that's not the case that the Chafetz Chaim addresses. He's addressing the Gedalia Gemara, in which the case is death, right? In which the case is death. right? Rhetorically, by invoking the Gedalia Gemara and the Ma'adana Yom Tov on the Gedalia Gemara and saying that your concern is he might mivayesh the perpetrator, even if you take it down several notches from Gedal, right? From actual Pikuach Nefesh, because I'm not willing to assume that the Chafetz Chaim is willing to play with Pikuach Nefesh. I'm not, right? Okay? Let's leave that out of the equation, right? But rhetorically, when that's your starting Gemara, and you, right, he said, Kahach uvda de Gedalia ben Achi kam de havelo lochush, right? The model is Gedalia, but I can't share it if I'm choshesh to be, because he's going to embarrass the perpetrator. He doesn't even say Nezek. Oyevayshuhu, right? And Mosif Chevet al Pesha, it'll cause machloket, right? Right? But machloket is beyond that, and the possibility of disproportionality comes 10 lines later, right? I think the Chavetz Chaim himself believes that more radical thesis. The only thing for me that leads, the only reason not to say that in the Chavetz Chaim for me linguistically is the Mai Chazit de Dama Dahai, right? Sumak Tfei. Right? Is if he really means that literally, so that might counter this read, which is to say, no, his problem is that he's worried, right? He doesn't know whether it's true that Reuven is going to punch Shimon, but he knows that if the only way for Shimon to stop Reuven is to punch him back, so now I'm playing with a potential punch from Reuven to Shimon, a potential punch from Shimon to Reuven, and I can't be party to contributing to that. Right? If I focused only on that line, right, then you're right. His problem, because that, right, is not crazy, which is to say, look, I don't know whether Reuven actually is going to punch Shimon, but I know that if I tell Shimon that Reuven might punch him, Shimon will punch him. And now I'm stuck at the question of, should I, right, try to protect Shimon or try to protect Reuven, who I don't know that he's a perpetrator, right? So there, if you just read that line, I would say, I might even share that intuition. But to start with the Gedalia Gemara, right, as your anchor, and then say, and he might be Mevayish him, you're assuming that he has, right, eliminated the gravity of that situation by time he makes his point. See, well, okay, so wait. So look, there's two questions there again, right? There's the conceptual question. There's a question, which the Chafetz Chaim mean, right? Right. Again, I think the Chafetz Chaim means that, right? One more point is that, in the end of the day, if he meant what you said, he should have said, "My chazit de dama dahai," right? "Zemes to mktvei," "Zemes to mktvei," right? And therefore, I have a lo samod on both, right? I have to protect both. He doesn't. He says, "Imkein chozer lav de rechilut." Right, amekomo. Right, the problem for him is that it's lashon hara. That's the problem. Right, he could have said, "It's lo," right, which is what you would expect him to say, which is my chazit de dama de zed tumak tvei dama de zed tumak tvei. Why? Because it's lo samod on him and lo samod on him. I'm trying to protect Reuben and I'm trying to protect Shimon. He doesn't. He says the problem is chozer lav derechilur amekomo. That once I don't have the justification, it's lashon hara. And for him, that's the problem. Right? You could have justified a similar position by saying it's lo, right? You have to protect Reuven and Shimon. But he doesn't. Right? He says the problem is Choser Lav D'Rechilut Al Mekomo. You can say he doesn't mean it, right? But because I don't think you believe that either. I think you believe that the potential problem here is you have to protect Reuven and protect Shimon, not that it's Lashon Hara, right? That's not the problem, right? Now, you could play games and you could say, well, Lashon Hara in the Rambam is intrinsically linked to Nezek, so maybe that's really what he means, right? You could play games. You could. Yes, correct. Correct. Now, again, right, historically, right, obviously the Pitchei Tshuva here is not commenting on the Chavetz Chaim, but he's commenting on people who clearly believe that, right? I think Chavetz Chaim falls in that school, right? But put it this way, if it's not the Chavetz Chaim, but I think it is, right? The Pitchei Tshuva is telling you that there is a school that, even though it's wrong, right, and seems weird, believed that, right? He's telling you that there is a whole world that believes exactly what you just said, right? Right, so presumably, right, if it was only a question of lo samod, right, either or whatever, right, lo tamod lifnei, but whatever, right, presumably there has to be some discussion of proportionality, right, meaning I need to protect both Reuven and Shimon, and I need to protect Reuven and Shimon from potential sins, right, there's potential lifnei either on both sides or potential lo tamod on both sides, right, but if I have to proactively protect someone, right, so then that has to mean I have to, right, you have to reasonably try to protect a victim without hurting, right, turning someone else into a potential victim, right? That's what you got to figure out, right? Presumably the best... Well... I think it would depend, and that's where I think proportionality would come in, right? Where I think you could say Shev Al Tas Adam if it's a penny versus, right, a beating, right? But is it obvious to you, right, that, I mean, it's not obvious to me, right, that the same would be true where the damage to Shimon would ostensibly be greater than that which he might do to Reuven, right? Right? Meaning to take the Chavetz Chaim's, I can't imagine that if I think, right, I know Reuven might beat up Shimon tomorrow and Shimon might retaliate in advance by telling the principal or yelling at him, Right? Fine, yelling at him. Let's just take his case, mimavayishim, right? Which is, right? Why do you hate me so much? And say that in the middle of the playground, right? Right? I can't imagine that for the chafetz, for in a lo tamod world, if there's a reasonable threat, right? Which is what he's talking about, right? At least, well, let's at least take that case, right? Isolate that case, right? Reasonable threat that Reuven is going to beat Shimon. And I know that Shimon's not a physical person. He's not going to retaliate that way. But he has a hot temper and might yell at him, and might yell at him in a public place. Right. Right. We could start, we could quibble, and we could come to places where. No, that's so right, because it look, it's definitely. I mean, obviously, in its in paradigmatic case of pikuach nefesh, the answer is yes, right? Correct. So, right. So I think here it's going to, my guess, right, is that the answer is going to come down to why, what exactly the conceptual, right, what exactly we get from the fact that Lo Samar Al Dam Re'echa is expanded, right, beyond Pikuach Nefesh. Like, what does that do? I mean, what happens when you have an Isser, which in its paradigmatic form is pikuach nefesh, right? But has been expanded beyond that, right? Presumably, again, no, all right. So presumably, right? Presumably, the answer is it will be doche certain yisurim. The question is what? I think it would probably be doche. I don't know, right? I don't know firmly, but I think it would be doche even other Yisurim. Which Yisurim is an interesting question, and which Lo Samad is an interesting question, right? Meaning, I think that, at some level, okay, I'll do this briefly, right? Because Baruch Hashem, this took a long time, but it's fine. This is why I gave you a long source sheet. I did not expect to read all of it. Right, how, what? Right, so how, right, how expansive is Lo Samad, right? Let's get to it, right? So why is it that I'm invoking Lo Samad, right, Lo Samad in this way? So, right, this starts at basically at 18, right? Meaning in the Gemara, Lo Samad is invoked standing by literally when someone's drowning, right? By Pikuach Nefesh, right? That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Gimel. But oh, I'm sorry, I'm not sharing the screen. But let me do that. Right. Now, how do we expand it? So this analysis, if you want in full, is in the Yad Ephraim, his first tshuva. So it goes like this, right? The Sifra says, Uminayin shim ata yodea lo edut, ein ata rashai lishtok alea, tamad lomar lo tamar al dam reyecha. Right? the Sifra adds that if I have testimony against somebody else, for somebody else, I can't be silent because of Lo Tamar Al Dam Re'echa. Okay? Now this creates problems, right? Because the classic case is the next one. Minay Merita, Tovea Ben Ahar, Olistim Bayim Alav, right, etc. So, what does that tell you about Lo Tamod? So, certain Rishonim just don't have this girsa, so you don't have to deal with it, right? And we have no evidence one way or the other in this. For example, if you look in 20, the girsa, the smog, and the sifra doesn't have this at all. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, however, does. And the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot, this analysis is partially from the Yad Ephraim, but the Chofetz Chaim does a good amount of it also. It says HaMitzvah Reisa Dizayin, Hushiz Harnu Milit Rashel Batzal Nefesh Acham Yisrael Kshir B'Sakanat HaMavet O HaHefsed V'Yihye Lanu Yecholet LaHatzilo. Right, it's either his life is in danger or he has lost. Kimo She'ya Tovea B'Mayim V'nachnu neida l'schot v'nuchal atzilo, right? Fine. And then three lines out. Ukvar amru shemishi yichbosh edut tichlu gamken zot ha'azara ki hu ro'e mamon chavero oved v'u yachol achziro elav b'amro ha'amet. Ukvar baba zanyan gamken, etc. Right? Right? This is addition to the shvua problem. Right? This is not Shvuat Eidus. He says that's only, right, independent of the question of whether he asks me for it. Right? This is what the Yad Ephraim points out, is that what emerges from the Sifra is that the only reason that, right, the halacha that someone has to ask me for Eidut is only a law in Karban. Right? Because of Shvuat Eidut. But it's not about the fundamental obligation. Fundamental obligation to offer Eidut when I can help someone with my Eidut is, right, is Lo Tamod, is from Lo Tamod, right, according to the Sifra, which the Rambam quotes. The Rambam does not quote it in the Mishneh Torah. And the question is, is why not? So one way is to say he rejects it. Many Achronim, Minchas Chinuch, Chavetz Chaim, assume that the Rambam does not reject it. He just doesn't quote it for a technical reason, which is that in many cases, my edut is not helpful, right? In order, the only time in which I can protect someone else is if, back to the Tuvia Gemara, is if I have two edim. And therefore, just because I, as an individual, know edut that can protect someone monetarily does not obligate me to testify because I can't. Right, that doesn't mean in principle, right? The Chofetz Chaim and the Minchat Chinuch both argue that in principle, even the Rambam and the Mishneh Torah still accepts the idea that Lo Tamod can be extended to money, right? I once heard from somebody, but I don't know where, right? That, and I know, I have this in my tshuva that I wrote that first summer, right? I think I probably heard from Shechter or something in one of his Parsha Shirim, right? That the Rav suggested an etymological basis for this, right? Which is that dam can also be related to damim, which means money and not just blood, right? That has no halachic significance, but it's cute. Fine. So you have here two possibilities, right? That Lo Tamod is limited to pikuach nefesh, or it's expanded even to money, or a third possibility, which is the Meshech Chachma, which is, one second, in 22, he argues that the testimony in question in the Sifra is not monetary testimony, it's edut nifashot. But then, so you could have just said that it's, Lo Tamod is limited only to mamash pikuach nefesh, but he doesn't seem to believe that either, and he says, one second. One second. No, sorry, it's not here. It's in, I think it's in the Yad Ephraim, which I didn't give you. Yeah, I didn't give you the Yad Ephraim, right? Where he says maybe even that position would acknowledge like severe bodily harm, short of death, would still be there. Okay, right? You could tweak it, right? If it was, I have my Bar Ilan open, I can pull it up for a second. 1 second, do I have it open? Yeah, I do. Where'd it go? Too many things open. Yad Ephraim Aleph. Yad Ephraim Aleph. Here. Yeah. So, 1 second. Yeah, right. Where he says that, right, even within the Meshech Chachma, that it's not, whether it's the Meshech Chachma or him, whatever, we can put it as a model, that it's only Misuk HaTzalat Nevashot, only Nizke HaGuf V'chulei. Dvarim Shem Begeder Dam Re'echa. Right? What? Yeah. Fine. But let's say you accept the Yad Ephraim, or you accept the Rambam, right? In the mission, in the Sefer HaMitzvot. So I have to believe, I think, that the fact that it is derived from a prohibition, which, or a mitzvah, whatever, however you want to look at it, prohibition that in its context is pikuach nefesh tells you that lo ta'amod will override other isurim, right? Because it is somehow in the same, literally in the same parsha, right? The same pasuk, derived from the same pasuk of pikuach nefesh, right? Now, it may not rise to actual pikuach nefesh, but presumably it has, right, more power than a regular lav. Now, monetary cases, maybe not, because in money in general, we assume the Yisurim are more than, right? But bodily harm, right? Bodily harm, we have plenty of evidence in general, right? Meaning, right? Chole she'even she'ein bo sakana, right? Is a relevant category when you're dealing with Yisurim, right? A relevant category. It's not doche everything, right? But it's not doche, right? Either, right? And presumably, lotam. Well, that's a huge machloket, right? Right? Meaning that's an extensive discussion in the Tshuva Binyan Shlomo. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and Rav Asher Weiss has an exhaustive tshuva on the topic, right? Right, where you have the range, right? Meaning you have the Gaonim who are quite extreme, right? But they don't even need, right, chole. Right, they actually think mitzvah is a category, right? The Rav Chanan Wasserman points this out, that the Gaonim have a, right, even lower category. They think mitzvah is a ptur and kol ha'tara kula, and if you have a headache when you daven, it, right, you can be ptur from davening forever, and if doing shtayim mikra gives you a headache, you're ptur shtayim mikra. It's a very weird tshuva. Fine. But it's a very weird series of tshuvot. But yes, mostly essays. You're right. They have relevance in primarily in essays. That's where it's normally brought in Torah mitzvot. But I have no problem saying that a derivative of a mitzvah that itself is in its paradigmatic form, pikuach nefesh, is going to at least have relevance, right? Again, I can't pin down what it is. I don't know, right? Meaning, but do you think I look intuitively? Do I think that you could wear shatnez to protect someone from being, right, having all his limbs, right, all his bones broken, right, beaten within an inch of his life in a case where I could be sure he wouldn't actually die, right? My intuition is yes, that's mutter, right? My intuition is that's mutter. I don't know. I don't know offhand of a source that says that that's mutter, but my intuition is that that's mutter, right? That I don't have to, right, let someone. What? So, right, that's the problem, right? In the Gemara has a stira in terms of whether we treat Isurin d'oraita all the same, whether the Isurei lav or Isurei mita or not, right? That's a stira in the Gemara, right? Because on the one hand, you might say, well, it's all d'oraita, so why am I saying that? On the other hand, right, we do, right? Look, in the end of the day, even on Shabbat, right, we have certain evarim where we say that hatzalat ev, right, evar is pikuach nefesh. Fine. So you want to cheat here and say they're being beaten to the point where you're not actually going to do that? Right. Again, I don't know, right? I don't know the line, but my intuition is that there is, right? That, again, I'd have to formalize it, right? And I need proof, right? But my intuition is yes, right? Right, so the, look, the Pirkei Tshuva's intuition is that Hashavat Aveda overrides Zilteilech Rechil also, right? I mean, he explicitly formulates saving someone's money as Hashavat Aveda, not Lo Tamod, right? And still says that it's obvious that it is more important, right, than Lo Teilech Rechil, right? Correct. And I think that in the end of the day, right, look, here's the thing. In the end of the day, I think that the Pirkei Teshuva and that whole school, right, fundamentally have an intuition that Lashon Hara is different, right, along Rav Elchanan lines. I don't know whether they think that's true of all Benan Lechaveras. I don't know, right? Meaning Rav Elchanan, right, himself references, right, meaning in the end of the day, he's a student of the Chafetz Chaim. So how much he's influenced by the Chafetz Chaim on this point, right, I've wondered before, right? Right, especially because, right, in Kovetz Shiurim, he explicitly leaves that as a Tzarech Iyun, right? We did this, right? Right? Yeah. Correct. Yes. Right. Right, meaning, look, the Kavana case is where I think that's obvious, right? Right, I mean, it can't be that I can't protect someone because I can't do it for the right reasons. If it's hutra, that's dechuya, right? We can play with it, but I think that Chafetz Chaim doesn't work with a hutra. How we get to Hutra, right, now, is it, right, is what drives the Pirkei Teshuva Ude'ime an intuition about the relative unimportance of Lashon Hara, or the an intuitive model, right, which is possible, right, or a prime of an intuitive prime of place to low Talmud, possible, or an intuition like Rav Elchanan, right? Which is not that Lashon Hara is weak, but that it's definitionally not this, right? I don't know which one it is, but all of those are not dechuya, right? There's a hutra there, right? And, you know, Rav Lichtenstein used to distinguish within, right, not hutra versus dechuya, but what he called hutra, dechuya, and lo nemra, right? Right? Where lo nemra is, right, he argued like the Ramban on Ochel Nefesh is not hutra, it's lo nemra, right? Is there only 33 malachot on Yom Tov, not 39, right? It's not that it's hutra, or it's not hutra, it's not a malacha, it's malachat, right? It's malacha, and not malacha, it's malachat avodah zasar, malacha is not asar. Whether you like it or not, right? Right, because now you're saying that it's not a Lashon Hara problem. It's a, I have to protect Reuven because I don't know that he's guilty. I have to protect Shimon. No, it's not. No, those are two models, right? Meaning saying in the Hutra model, right? In the Hutra model, i.e. Rav Elchanan, you'll say, look, I'm not doing it to hurt anybody. Shimon might be want to hurt Reuven, but I'm doing it to protect Shimon. No. No, I'm the act meaning no, the well, see intent, we're intent means two different things here, right? One is meaning what am I, right? What am I meaning there are two things going on in intent. One is what am I trying to do? The other is the hype, right? The Chafetz Chaim in particular, it's one thing to say that you need the proper intent. It's another thing to say you can't have negative intent, and a hybrid intent is gonna forbid it, right? In a Hutra model, you definitely can't have the second, right? That makes no sense. Meaning I'm doing it for the right reason, right? I'm doing it for Los Amos, right? Whether in a Hutra model, right? But to say that I need to be doing it to protect Reuven. Right, you can say that in intent, or you can just say, I have to be, that has to be the definition of my act. I'm protecting Reuven, right? I'm trying to protect Reuven. I mean, that's what I'm doing, right? I'm not, right? I mean, that's what I'm trying to do, right? I'm. No. I mean, right, assuming you're acknowledging that you're assuming that you're aware of the fact that you're protecting Reuven, right? And that's part of the well, I don't know if you need or I you know, I will suffice here with cognizance. I don't think I need, right, motivation. Meaning, right, I'm thinking of it the way the Chazon Ish thinks of right, Derech Hatzalah, right? Right, the Chazon Ish in his, right, trolley cases, right, comes up with this idea. It's not really about intent, right? Meaning intent might be part of it, but it's really about the definition of my act, right? In the end of the day, what I'm doing now is, right, yeah. Yeah, that's how I'm thinking of it. Yes, in the Chavetz, in the Chazon Ish's model. Yeah. Right. There's probably a level of motivation of Rav Elchanan in it, sure. Right. Well, that's where I think, right? Meaning it's not purely, right? And that's why I keep pushing. I don't know the exact line. You're right. My intuition is weaker. But like I said, the fact that Lo Tamut is derived from a case of Pikuach Nefesh. Right, leads me to believe that there is a case in which it will play into Ben Adam Lamakoms also. But because not all Ben Adam Lamakoms, right, bend equally, it's a less, right, there's my intuition is there is such a case. I mean, it's not pure Rav Elchanan because I think Rav Elchanan would, if you only had Rav Elchanan and not Los Amod and its derivative nature from a case of Pikuach Nefesh, I don't think you'd have any room to play with Ben Adam Lamakoms, right? I don't think that's true. I just don't know where it is. Meaning intuitively, I what? Okay. I mean, look, I'm not, one second. I mean, just, right? Meaning I'm not. I mean, are you, right? Are you convinced of Rabbi Yosef Engel's claim that all Ben Adam Lachaveros are consequentialists and all Ben Adam Lamakoms are not? Right? Are you? I don't know if I'm convinced by that. Right? Meaning the radical version of that, right? The radical version of it, which is quite radical, is the Radbaz, who says that all the rules of Akira, Davar, Menat Torah only work by Ben Adam Lamakom and not Ben Adam Lachavero, right? Right? Because, right, essentially God can, right? God can make those cheshbonot, but I can't make that consequentialist cheshbon for somebody else, right? Yeah, meaning I just don't think, right, meaning I don't think that, right, meaning I have no problem saying that, meaning sure, Kavod HaBriyot is one data point there, sure, but it's not the only data point, right, in it, meaning we know that that's, right, we know that Ben Adam, right, Lamakoms will bend, right, not just for, right, not just for Kavod HaBriyot, but sure, Kavod HaBriyot is the locus classicus, right, where, right, right, which as look as Rav Lichtenstein very compellingly argues that right you misunderstand the sugya if you don't pay attention to rhetoric, right. Rav Lichtenstein is very into this idea, right, that if it the fact that it didn't just say that Gadol Kavod HaBriyot Shadoche right derabanan, right, means that even if in practice that all it ever right that's all it formally means, right, in terms of the way it shapes the way you think about halacha, right? More generally, the rhetoric is meant to shape, right? Is meant to, right? Is meant to shape the way you think about halacha. This is a factor in it, right? That's why the Gemara frames it rhetorically that way, even though it doesn't mean it. Right. Look, I'll just throw out the other model to do it, and this I really didn't develop here, but I think I did in what I sent you, right? Is all the is the fact that lo tamen ol dem reyach and lashon hara are paired, right? So there is an right. So in the pasuk, so there is a parshanut model, which is to say, yes, lashon hara is unique in that way that it's that it is right that lo tamod is a quality, right? Right, lo tamod always wins out, right? It's as if, right. Lo telech rachil, unless, right? Never forget that there's an overarching value called lo tamod al dam reyecha, right? So there is an argument to be made that it's a localized, as do many of the mefarshim, but yeah. Well, look, just to throw out, right, like a piece of evidence in that direction, right? We don't have time to do it, but one of the questions that, right, is dealt with in some of the post-game that in Yad Ephraim is, okay, the Gemara tells you that lo tamor al dam reyecha requires not only for you to protect someone, but to spend money to protect them, right? Right, and that's unique to lo, right? That's a unique halacha in lo tamor. Right, so the later post can say, okay, is that true of the derivative lo tamods as well as the original, right? Which is a good way of testing, right, the extent to which we really think it is, right, modeled after the paradigm, right? And that's where the post can end up saying to save someone else's money, you might not, but that's a technicality, right? Because you able to force them to pay you, and then at some point it doesn't become worth it, right? But for physical bodily harm, presumably you would have to, right? You froze here.
On Shabbos, could you be like, okay, I'm not gonna.
I mean, you could look, you could, I mean, right. And of course, if you throw Shlomo Zalman in, then you get a whole mess, right? Because Shlomo Zalman actually raises the possibility that you can have a din rodeif for someone who's going to embarrass someone, and that maybe you can be mechalel Shabbos to prevent someone from being embarrassed, right? He raises all those. Okay, so I'll make 2 points then because I have 4 minutes. One, we won't have time to read it, but I gave you, and I expected this much. I gave you a bunch of classic tshuvot, 20th century on Lashon Hara. Tzitzil Eliezer, Chalkut Yaakov, Rebovadia. If you have the time, I want you to read it to and notice 2 points, right? Or 3 points, really. One is where they quote the Chafetz Chaim and where they quote that Pitchei Tshuva, right? I have a recording, so hopefully that's okay. Anyways, point two is even when they quote the Chafetz Chaim, do you think they actually agree with the Chafetz Chaim? Okay, because what I've noticed in many tshuvot is that as even when later poskim quote the Chafetz Chaim, they don't actually go and check off all the boxes, right? Like they are sort of convinced that there's such a thing as Lashon Hara that's mutter, and the Chafetz Chaim came up with a category called toelet, but I have yet to ever find a posek who actually went through it and said this is mutter because it checks the 7 boxes of the Chafetz Chaim. But they will say, oh, and this is mutter, because as you know, the Chafetz Chaim says Lashon Hara L'Toelet is mutter, right? So I want you not to. At some point, I just sat down and went through, I don't know how many tshuvot, where they claimed they were quoting the Chafetz Chaim to find if any of them ever bothered, right, to actually do what the Chafetz Chaim says you need to do. And my feeling is that the answer is no, right? Which is part of my conviction that de facto, right, descriptively, the Chafetz Chaim, as presented in Chafetz Chaim, in its most extreme form, at the very least, is not accepted, right? But I want you to go through that and tell me whether you think that's true, if you have time to read through. I just gave you a few representative. In those two, but I also picked ones that expand Lo Tamod even beyond what we've talked about. To include emotional pain, spiritual pain. Don't ask me what that means, but Tzitzil Yezer comes up with such a category, right? Because at some point, the Tzitzil Yezer had this formulation of it being mutter to share potential information about infertility to a shidduch because of the tsa'ar ruchani or something like that of not being able to be mekayim the mitzvah of purvu. Right, so rather than just setting it up as purvu, right, as like doche, he doesn't do that. He sets it up as some sort of tsa'ar ruchan. I don't know what that means, but I want you to pay attention to things. Right, he calls it right im kein ma rav hu efo shvichut. Here, I'll just pull it up for a second, right, just to see the type of lines I want you to look for. Im kein marav hu efo shvichut hadamim tarte mashma v'hasevel hagufani v'haruchani shetigrom lo mizeh. Okay? Right? So I want you to see how, A, whether you think the Chafetz Chaim would accept any of this, and B, how far the poskim actually extend these categories, because I think it's quite telling. Okay? There are other tshuvot. If you want to look at other tshuvot, I gave you at the bottom, this link to the Olamot one, where they collect a bunch, including just the encyclopedia, the Halachic Medical Ethics Encyclopedia, the Hebrew one, on all the cases when you can share medical information for shiduchim, and you can look at all the footnotes that he quotes, and you can follow every single one of those tshuvot and see what happens there. Fine. The last point that unfortunately we really can't explore because it's really fascinating. Is do these rules apply the same to Gilui Sod as they do in what we're calling Lashon Hara? And I found that Rav Nissim Karelitz thinks not. And he thinks that Toelet is only just if you pull up just for the last second here, where it's under where the mouse is, right? He says, "Lachein mistabra de lo mahani heter de toelet shamatzinu lagabe isur lashon hara." Right? The heter only everything we've been talking about is only in the context of what we call gossip, but not confidential, not breaching confidentiality. Why not? So he says at the top of this section, "V'hainu shabali din migalin l'danayanim et ason shalem al minat shishmeru et atzod l'chad l'chadchila nimtzar lahem b'torat zod l'chein asur lahem l'saper." Right? Because he thinks that there's something else going on there. That even if to'elet is enough to get you out of gossip, it's not enough to get you out of the implied contract or just agreement of telling a secret, the implied confidentiality. There, he thinks that the only thing that will get you out of it is, right? He thinks, and this is where it's very interesting. He says, "Lo ta'amod will get you out of gilui sod, but to'elet will not." Okay, right? Because lo ta'amod is a different, right? So this is a fascinating analysis that we could probably spend another hour on, right? Which is, what is it, right? What exactly does Nisim Karelitz think is going on here, and what does that tell you about confidentiality, right? Which is confidential because you said so, right? Rather than, right, information you shouldn't share because it's negative, but not necessarily private. Right, Clapper, I really wish I had more time to analyze that because I think that piece of Nissan Kralitz is critical and fascinating. So I'm gonna have to end. This was wonderful. But I think you guys should at least find some time to discuss this piece of Nissan Kralitz, because a lot of these questions that we talked about, right, is this unique to Lashon Hara, right? He's the one who explicitly takes it up and says, aha, the Talmud can accomplish what Tohelet cannot, because Lashon Hara and Tohelet have a unique relationship, which other things, right, don't, right? Which is fascinating, especially if they're both derived from the same pasuk, which I don't think he believes. But unfortunately, we can't get into that, which is so chaval. I think so. I did it on my computer, so it should be complete. Yes, 100%.